Hello, and welcome to Boring Comics, a podcast about webcomics, indie comics, and the people who love them. I'm your host, Tim McLaughlin. This week, we're talking about Art Evolution, but first, a couple quick pieces of news. Comic Book Hour, a popular Twitter chat, made an announcement last weekend that this past Sunday's chat would be the last on their current model. The forum at comicbookhour.com is still active and expected to continue growing, and the official word is that there will be a new form of the Twitter chat coming in a few weeks, focused more on letting creators plug their work, so keep an eye out for that. Webcomic Chat, another popular tweet chat for readers and creators of webcomics, is still active with twice weekly topics. You can catch me there sometimes, though admittedly their window of operation is less ideal for my schedule. Do you know of any other chats or sites creators and readers of webcomics and indie comics should know about? If so, drop me a line, tim@temclaughlin.com. The Center for Cartoon Studies, the school I mentioned a few episodes ago hosting a solid comic creation program in White River Junction, Vermont, has a free public event soon. One of their recent alumni is partnering with the local VA hospital to create a graphic novel honoring women in our military. If you're a cartoonist and or woman vet that can be in the area, swing by their school on April 3rd at 6 p.m. to learn about and play some part in that project. I'm hoping to attend and maybe see you there, but it's a few days before my pregnant wife's due date, so I can't make any promises just yet. One thing that I found interesting in looking into the Center for Cartoon Studies is that, when I went looking for other comic degree programs, pretty much everyone I found lists themselves as one of the only such degree programs. It's beginning to seem like there are a lot more of these out there than people realize, certainly more than I realized. Sometime soon, I hope to curate a list of them on the website so you, if you're interested, can more readily find and compare them. I'll let you know when that's live, but in the meantime, tell me if you know of any I should include. Finally, I've been doing some research into comic conventions and learned that some may be open to allowing me to cover their event on a press pass. Now, attending cons on behalf of this podcast is one of my goals on Patreon, because frankly, I can't really afford the travel and booth and such at this point. But with this option, I may be able to pop into some cons close enough that I can attend without getting a hotel, cover the event, and chat briefly with some people hosting tables there. As of this recording, Plastic City Comic Con in Fitchburg, Massachusetts, has confirmed that I can come and do that, so if you'll be there, say hi. My attendance at cons, as well as the publishing date for special convention episodes, will be on the calendar on my website. Links to all these things, as well as links to things discussed in the interview, are available on my website at temclaughlin.com. Today's guest is Tai Kina, who makes the comic Helvetin Pascha. Enjoy! Welcome to the show.
Thanks.
So why don't you go ahead and tell people, you know, who you are, what you do, where they can find what you do.
So hi, I'm Tai Kina, and I draw webcomics, or a webcomic, and I make music on the computer. You can read my webcomic Helvetin Pascha at http://helvetinpascha.thecomicseries.com. Cool. And I make music also. You can find me from SoundCloud, the name Tai Kina.
Now, the name of the comic I saw was Finnish. Are you in Finland?
Yeah.
Or?
Okay. Yeah, I'm Finnish. The comic was originally in Finnish, but then I thought I'd have more of a readership if I used English, but the name stuck.
Now, you wanted to come on to talk about Art Evolution.
Yes. Because my art sucks. But it will be awesome.
It has its own, like, whole section on TV tropes, this Art Evolution. It seems to be a fairly common thing among webcomics. I know mine went through a significant amount of that.
Yeah, I think that's, like, part of the charm of webcomics. And you don't see that in other media, really, because it's really curated and prepared, but with webcomics you can sort of like watch the creator grow, and it's just like one person starting to create a comic, and there's no like manager or any company that puts it out. It's just someone uploading it to the net, so you can all sort of see all their mistakes and their style evolve. And I think anyone who gets into webcomics has that one experience where they read their first few webcomics for like many pages, and then when they check back into page one, there's like this moment of like, wow, I didn't remember that these characters used to look like this. And then it hits you, like the comic has evolved, the art has evolved.
So I was looking through your archive just kind of to get my, you know, refresh my mind on, you know, how your art has changed. And it looks like kind of the first chapter or so, like you did a whole lot more of like using computer effects for color or really shading things in with the pen than like the most recent page. Was that like was that a conscious choice, or was that just kind of something that happened?
It's partly a conscious choice and partly just something that happens. It's been me using Art Rage Lite, that game with the tablet that I bought, and just trying all the different tools. At first I used the brush tool, like a paintbrush, and you can see it's very like, the lines are somewhat more like thick and raspy. But now I use the technical pen tool in the later pages. And when I started, I did all the stuff like, oh, I have to shade this and do it all meticulously. But now I'm sort of evolved to the point where I want to get pages done faster. So I shade and color when I feel that it's more appropriate to the mood of the scene or the panel. And I'm kind of stripping down on my technique to be faster, basically. Like in from the start, the use of color was very, I intentionally like colored only a single color in a black and white pages, like something that would have some sort of significance, and sort of to highlight it.
We were talking about how like the art evolution is a very common thing in webcomics. What comics do you think really, like what comics come to mind when you think about that, that kind of really evolved in a really kind of natural and good way?
Well, my first, when I started reading webcomics, one of the first ones was RPG World. That was my personal sort of moment, like wow moment, when I noticed art evolution, and the exact thing happened that I said earlier, where you read the comic and then you go back to the first pages and you get the moment where you notice how much the art has evolved. So I think that one was, it had evolved quite a lot. Now I think they all just have that aspect, unless it starts out like really good technically. Like there are these few people on Comic Fury who just have that style and skill, and it stays consistent throughout the comic from the start.
Like Unknown Lands.
But like one that's also technically really good and good otherwise from the start is Star Punch Girl. And I love it. It's really neat way to tell the story without any dialogue and with just the, like there's text, if there's text in the scene, like on a sign or on a newspaper, but there's no speech bubbles or thought bubbles or any of that unnecessary stuff. It's just the characters emoting and doing stuff. I really like that. And that's like probably the technical aspect of it is the best I've seen on Comic Fury so far. But maybe something I wanted to talk about today was how I think maybe art is, it sounds maybe kind of funny, but art is kind of secondary. Like all these stories that we are telling through pictures, we could just tell each other like on a campfire, and it would be just as engaging. Or with stick figures, if the readers would be compelled to read comics about stick figures doing stuff. The art is just there to kind of attract the readers, but the story and the characters is the real meat. So I think art sits in a kind of this funny mediating place between the reader and the creator, since if there's just like art, good art, but no story, you wouldn't really read that. But if there's like just okay or passable art, but a really good story, you would have your own set of readers.
Yeah, it's... We haven't talked too much about that on the show, but the art as the vehicle for the story, primarily. It seems to be... You hear people argue kind of both sides of that, that like some people are like, oh, the story is not great, but the art is just beautiful. And in general, it seems to go the way you're talking about, where it's like a lot of missteps can be made in art and they get forgiven because of the story, which I think is why we have so much art evolution, like because people can come in and just start telling their story even if their art isn't up to it, and as they get practice, even if they weren't originally, they can kind of become artists.
Yeah, that's exactly what I'm aiming for. I have this like, well, it's constantly changing even as I'm making it, but I have like the story of most individual characters pretty planned out, and the characters are very defined in my head. I'm just hoping you can look past my ugly art and read my awesome story. Basically, when I started making this, it was like this thing where I felt kind of disappointed in myself, like, why haven't I put anything out yet? Like, I've been making short comics and scribbles and doodles, and I've tried to start making a comic a couple of times, but I've really kept it to myself. I haven't put it up anywhere because I used to think it's too much of a hassle, and I've just been I used to do these comics on MS Paint and just send them to my friends through Messenger or Skype or something, and it'd be like just a funny thing to share. But now I've found this confidence in myself to reach out to people I don't even know and maybe have them read my silly comics too. I've seen a lot of it where many people think it's never good enough, and I just have to learn this and then I can start doing it. And then you ask them a year later and, well, no, it's still not good enough. I need to learn lots of stuff. But the thing is, and this webcomics are a really good culture for that, because you can learn as you go. If you strive for perfection too hard, it's never gonna be good enough. It's really daunting to start. Like, I'm being pretty intimidated by everything, and like looking back at the first pages or the last pages that I drew, there's always this feeling of, what am I even doing? But you just have to push that out of your mind, and you have to keep going. Like, there's also mulling over doing reboots or redrawing the pages,
right?
Which I think is just, why would you do that? First of all, you will never get your story done if you always reboot it. And for most folks, these are some of the first comics they will do. And I think an important experience for someone who makes these stories is to finish one. If you're talking about art evolution as a trope, then if you reboot your comic or redraw your pages, like, aren't you destroying your, like, the history of your comic and its artist together?
Yeah, I'm gonna...
It's like sacrilege.
Yeah. I'm actually going to be talking about that soon, in, I think, 2 weeks. Zachary Ekman from Comic Fury.
Yeah.
He's going to be coming on and talking about comic reboots.
I'm totally against them, but that's just, like, my opinion, man.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to do one, as much as I think my comic, you know, might benefit from having at least all of the art be digital, because I started on pen. I'm not interested in doing it. But it's interesting to talk to people who do it, and hear, you know, kind of the things they feel they benefited from by doing it, because it's... You know, I talked a couple weeks to Helen, or last week, I guess, to Helen, and she was talking about how, like, in comics, you you don't generally get a second draft. In writing, you get to write it and then edit it and then do all this work before it goes out to where people can see it, and in all these other things you get to do that. But in comics, web comics, people tend to just kind of create it and put it out there, and they don't get a second shot at it. And
yeah,
she talked a bit about how by writing it first, she got to do all the second drafts and everything before ever making it a comic. And a lot of people who reboot talk about like that being their mode for having a second draft.
Yeah, that's really understandable. Well, I started the whole thing to learn making comics. There was actually a completely different comic I was planning to start creating, but as I started sketching the pages and stuff, I realized that if I want to make this good, I need to spend some time making like a learning comic. So this is my kind of grinding for XP with this one.
Your art evolution is intentional. You're working towards a goal.
Yeah, and it's sort of my nature to always try to play with the things and try to subvert systems and stuff and kind of get a different view and aspect on everything. So it's kind of perfect for me to flex my artistic muscles. I thought like I'd try everything, like what I originally wanted to do, and if it's at all possible, I will do it, is I'd like animate some parts, which I did, which was a nightmare and basically caused a half a year hiatus just to animate that one scene. And it was cool and it could have been a bit better, but I can't regret it now. The other thing I wanted to do is like have this intentional art flux, which is like the first or second chapter where it turns into this really badly drawn MS Paint piece. And like as the art evolves, I'd like to do callbacks on the previous styles, like if it's thematically appropriate to the scene.
Now do you then, because you seem to be very intentional about some of your art's evolution and some of your experimentation, do you plan out some of the things you're going to do with that ahead of time, or do you just kind of like see how it feels when you get to a page?
I think a bit of both. There's like this intention, of course, of getting good. I wish that a few years or 5 years or how many years ever it will take to finish this thing, it will start to look a bit more amazing and like something that can be taken seriously. And at that point, there'll be a lot of the crazy stuff that I've planned will be established, and the art will be on par. Other things that I have like intentionally planned is trying just everything that I happen to think might be thematically or tangentially appropriate for the scene. Like if I see a chance for if there's a sudden mood shift coming in the story, I might change the style. And I had it's a pretty fresh idea that I could do callbacks to previous styles. Like I might go back into the style of the first few pages when there's like something a bit more brooding and dark coming, and then it suddenly changes back. We are back in the start, but with all the stuff that's happened, nothing is certain, but everything's possible, basically.
Now, you had mentioned that you do use Art Rage for your work. Is that, have you been consistently using that? Have you tried some other stuff?
Yeah, I did animations on EasyToon, which is a pretty great thing. Very bare bones MS Paint like, because there's not even color, there's just black and white pixels, not even grays, but there's like these rasters that you can use, and it's very quick to animate simple things. But as I noticed, doing the more complex stuff, it's animating, so it took a lot more than I initially anticipated. And I've also used MS Paint, of course. I have the new version, which is kind of weird, and I also have the old version, and I use them to doodle also, but also for that one page I did. and Photoshop CS2, which is it's free, so it's good. I've used it here and there for some touch-ups, but I don't generally use it. Generally, I just use ArtRage. I don't even draw on paper. I just start digital, but I might get into like using paper and scanning. And is there anything else? No. I've been browsing and trying many kinds of programs for making art, but I've settled on the ArtRage because it's not perfect, but I like how it tries to emulate real things like paint brushes and paint and the technical pens, but then you can also fiddle around with the settings. And I've been fiddling the settings and saving my own pens and trying to get something that fits me personally.
I've noticed, you know, in terms of like developing the talent and stuff like that, my son will always ask me, you know, how do they do that? You know, looking at something that he's interested in, or when we watch soccer games or something. And I've told him, you know, numerous times, basically any time you ask how do they do that, the answer is going to be practice.
Yeah, that's the horrifying nightmare of reality. Yeah, you just have to keep at it, champ. One day you'll get there. That's what I tell myself.
Yeah. Well, we're just about out of the time that I asked you for, so did you have any final thoughts or plugs or anything you'd like to make?
Oh, right. I didn't talk about Thorsby's comics.
Okay.
They're also on Comic Fury. There were some webcomics that I've been reading for a long time. They made the Hitman for Destiny, which is great, and Transdimensional Brain Chip. They're absolutely like clever and hilarious comics. It's someone who I really look up to because their art is, at first when you look at it, it seems very childish and basic, but as I've read the comics, I've come to think of it more like as a really utilitarian art, like it really gets the point across. And I think it would be very difficult to do those sort of comics without that particular art style. Like there's no really fancy camera movement or framing or like anatomy or stuff, but the characters are really, really recognizable, and they tend to do all these crazy creatures and species that are really interesting, and they always have a function to them. And everything in the story has like its own function, and it all comes together in a really dramatic and hilarious way.
Awesome. Well, thanks for coming on.
Thank you for having me.
No problem. Thank you so much for listening. There are a host of ways to interact with the podcast, including seeing upcoming guests, submitting questions for them, alerting me to news I should announce here, or finding the podcast on other sites. Just follow the audio drop-down menu on temclaughlin.com. That's temclaughlin. To the Exploring Comics podcast page. Next week will be our first panel discussion episode, and as I'm getting ready for that, I would like to draw your attention to another link on the Exploring Comics page, which will provide a list of panels planned for the year and give you the chance to be considered for some of them. There's also a link to this specific episode, which includes links to Tykina's work and all of the comics and news discussed today. You can also find the podcast distributed by Nerd Herder Network. Find them on Facebook for this and a whole lot of other content. This episode and all episodes are also available on iTunes, TuneIn, and Google Play, so check there to rate and subscribe. If you would like to hear the whole discussion between myself and the guests, support Exploring Comics on Patreon. $1 an episode gets you our full conversation, edited for ease of listening but not for time or content. Special thanks to Tykina for being here, the supporters on Patreon, and you for listening. I've been your host, Tim McLaughlin. Have a delightful weekend.